On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh boy, this is going to be fun.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I swear it is. Look, see, it is. Thank you. Thank you very much. You make yourself comfortable now, and I will take care of everything else. Halfway through the show, I'm going to do some sword swallowing. Radio-wise, that's not too exciting. For me, it's a problem. Who would want to be a sword swallower? At what point in your life do you say, I've chosen a career path of putting a sharp object down my throat for entertainment purposes? I don't know how that could possibly be even a thing. Yesterday, I went driving into the big city. Ooh, big, big, big. And I live in the Boston area. I drove into Boston. And what a depressing place cities are. They really are. As soon as I pulled off the highway, after sitting in traffic for almost an hour, I don't like sitting in traffic. There's nothing to do. You can't get out and walk around, you know, you just got to sit in the car. You can listen to music, but you're also frustrated, so that doesn't really work. So I get into the city, and there's this guy standing there. He's not well-dressed, and he's got a container. It's an old Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup. And he's walking up and down the stretch there where there's a red light, and he's begging. And I always go through a process whenever this happens because I feel bad for people that are down and out. My immediate reaction is there's a lot of jobs available. Surely you can do something for 6 hours and they'll pay you money. Then I wonder, well, is it more lucrative for them to walk up and down the street and collect money? Is that a better deal? Well, you don't have to pay taxes. I don't think you have to pay taxes. So maybe it's a better deal. I really don't know, but that's not the point. I keep trying to figure out, do these people really have a problem or not? And you see all these signs that they're holding up telling me the number of children that they have. And that's supposed to make me feel bad. And that's where I pretty much say, well, that is your problem. I have 5 children and I'm trying to feed 5 children. Well, whose fault is that? So that's when I kind of lose touch. But I don't know. There's a tug on my heartstrings with being a humanly helping out other humans, or whether am I being scammed here? every once in a while, I will pull out a dollar bill and shove it in their cup. But after I do that, I always say to myself, I'm not doing this again. I'll tell you a real funny story that isn't funny. But it's a true story. I'm not making it up. And this today is my fact of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's fact of the day.
There's a mall near my house, not too close, but not too far. And there is this guy. He's not well-dressed. He's not poorly dressed. These days, everybody dresses so poorly, you can't tell whether they're down and out or this is just the style. I mean, you really can't. People are walking around with ripped jeans. You would figure, oh my God, I gotta help this person out. They can't even afford pants. Their pants are all shredded and there's like shredded, their knees are exposed. Oh my God. Oh, that's all they have. And then you realize that's the way they sell them now. That's the style. All right. Now, I don't know if this person is really down and out or is just being stylish. So there's a red light before you turn into the mall, and there's usually a 7 to 8 car backup waiting for the light to turn green to get into the mall. And this guy, he's planted himself there day after day for weeks now, and he walks up and down this line of cars awaiting the green light, and he tries to collect money. And I don't know, I go through this entire process that in my head that I've just described to you. Within the mall area, there's a nice little bar. It's part of a bowling alley. It's a bowling alley and pool tables on one side of the establishment and a really nice bar on the other. And every once in a while, for a period of time, I used to go in there, and because I was in, I'm in the entertainment business. They had bands and all that stuff, so I was, you know, doing that. And I knew the guy that ran the place, the general manager. And I come in one day, and we're sitting. And I walk in. How you doing? I'm doing fine. How you doing, Ron? I'm doing fine. You know, all that mindless kind of back and forth. And somehow I brought up this guy in front of the mall, and the general manager says to me, "Oh, that guy that stands there at the traffic light and collects money? Yeah, him. Yeah." I said, "Yeah, he comes in here all the time." I said, "What? What, to collect money? To go to the bathroom probably because he has to pee?" He says, "No. He'll come in here on a Tuesday or Thursday night at about 5 o'clock after he's been standing out there in traffic all day, and he'll come in here and he'll sit down at the table and order a steak dinner, have a cocktail, and then drive away and go home. And we all know that he's the guy that just stands there at the traffic light and collects money." So you gotta be kidding me. I gave this guy money on like one or two occasions. I don't know his deal or anything. I'm just telling you, he comes in here and eats really, really well. He'll sit there and order like, good amount of stuff and have dinner like anybody else. Oh, gosh. See, in my mind, if you're collecting money at a traffic light, you can't have a steak dinner. You're supposed to be going home and feeding your 10 children. Ever since that encounter with this general manager, this conversation, I stopped giving money to people at traffic lights. I don't know. It's the same thing now. See, the scam thing has become, and not everybody's scamming. Oh my God, not everybody's scamming, but I can't tell anymore who is and who isn't. That's the problem. There have been so many times, I don't know if this has happened to you, it probably hasn't because you're not me. I mean, you might fit into my pants. What size are you? No, you won't fit in my pants. That's how I judge whether you're like me or not. Do we have the same likes, dislikes? Perhaps. Can you fit in my pants? No. All right, we're different. Sometimes I'll get phone calls on my cell phone. I have a landline, by the way. I'll admit it. I'm a mindless schmuck. I have a landline. I know most of you don't. There's no point to having one anymore. It comes with my cable package. I get a home phone, internet, and that cable thing, all for only $7,000 a week. But it comes with the package. What am I going to do? Say, no, I don't want a home phone. No, if it comes with it, I'll take it. I may not use it, but I'll take it because it comes with it. So anyway, so the phone will ring and I will answer any one of my phones. But it's a number that I don't recognize. So now I have to recognize the numbers. I never had to do that before. Number I don't recognize. So I'll answer the phone in a very cold, defensive manner. This is how I answer the phone if I don't know who it is. Hello? Yeah, that's it. Doesn't sound real friendly, does it? You call me. I answer the phone. Hello? It's awful. You're supposed to answer the phone. Hello? How are you? Or something like that. Not hello? Hello? So anyway, I'll go, hello? And the person on the other end of the phone will go, Ron? Oh, yes, yes, I'm sorry. I was just, I was in the middle of prostitution. I don't know. I have to make up an excuse. In other words, the point is, with all the scam stuff going on, I assume that it's a scam thing. That's my assumption. You know, when people are brought up, you know, in the older days, they said, you know, trust everybody. You must trust. You must have an open heart. Oh, you only have an open heart when you're having surgery. Otherwise, no. People have to earn my trust. There's a series of tasks that they must complete in order to earn my trust. First, you must run to the highest mountain and collect 2 pounds of goat turds and bring them back in a golden bag, and that will be task number one to earn my trust. The second is you must go to the greatest extreme to find some mushrooms that have the split top and they are truffles and they are worth $2 million. Bring them to my feet and then kiss my ring and I shall consider task number two to be completed. Then you must contact everybody I know and tell them what a wonderful martyr I actually am. And upon completing that task, you will be halfway to earning my trust. Seriously, you must endure great pain and fortitude in order to earn my trust. That is task number 27. And then perhaps I shall earn your trust, but I shall always answer the phone in the manner of, hello, hello, hello. All the robot calls, they call them robocalls because the T at the end of robot, that's a lot. It's a lot to say the whole word robot. So people say robo. Oh, that's a lot shorter. That saved me a lot of time. I get the robocalls where I'm picking up the phone and I'm actually having a conversation with a recorded voice. I'm having a, because it's interactive now. That's when I call Comcast, for example, I was using that as an example that I have a home phone. When I call Comcast, no one answers the phone to Comcast and goes, hello, how can I help you? They used to, but they haven't done that in decades. But instead, I'll get a person, but not a person. It's a robot, and it will ask me what I want. It says it in a polite manner. It says, how may I help you? Simply say, is it billing? Is it? Did I annoy you somehow? It's an actual conversation that I'm having with the robot. We're going back and forth. I'm being very clear. The robot doesn't seem to know what I'm talking about for some reason. Every time I call one of these companies, and every company has it, nobody answers the phone anymore. It's a robot. It's always a it's an interactive robot. I'm having conversations with robots, ladies and gentlemen. It's demeaning to begin with. I so cherish the days millennials don't know that this actually happened. You would dial a phone number, I don't know, push your buttons, whatever you had on your phone, and somebody would answer, a human being who had a heartbeat would answer the phone and say, Johnson Corporation, how may a director call? Okay. And we would have I have a question about my bill. Okay, let me just see if Mr. Kumquat is available. We'll put you right through. It was so, and that would be nice. Hello, how is your day going? Okay. It was conversation. No more. Now it's just robot. It's basically, what the fuck do you want? Here are your options. If there are no options involved, you're screwed. I know. I spend half of my life on the phone yelling at a robot saying, I want to speak to a representative, customer service, please. And the robot says, I don't know what kind of customer service you want. Is it billing? Do you have technical problem? What the fuck's wrong with you? Sorry, I'm clearing my throat. It's demeaning, to say the least. Even to say the most, it's demeaning. So between scams and talking to robots, I got myself some real problems. It's not working out. It's just not working out. If I had a choice to stick with companies that only had human beings to deal with, I would stick with that company. I even pay a little bit more money just to get the feeling that I'm being taken care of. I get no feeling of that with Verizon or Comcast or any company. They don't answer the phone anymore. It's just a robot. And now, which is really demeaning, when I call for help on something, I don't call these companies unless I need something, unless I have a problem. There's no problem, I don't call you. But they don't seem to recognize that only people who have problems are calling, and they're a little bit miffed and a little bit pissed, and yet you just throw a robot at them that says, well, I need more information, I can't help you. And then at a point they actually say, look, we're a company, we can't be bothered with you. So here's what you do. Just go to our website and figure it out yourself. There's a bunch of things there, and you just go do it. Or we can send you a text message and you can deal with our other robots who are always there to help you, but only with the questions that we have loaded into our system. If it's not one of, and my question always has nothing to do with their robotic questions and answers. Nothing. I want to speak to a person who can't speak English, please. And that's the other problem. I'm not complaining. I know that people have accents. That's fine. I know that I may not be able to understand them if they have a thick accent. Okay. But if I can't understand you at all, you can't even speak English, what are you doing speaking to me? I always get the feeling when I call customer service that I'm speaking to somebody in Outer Mongolia, and I don't even know where that is, or probably someplace in India, looking out the window and seeing a New Delhi across the street. I always get people that can't speak English that are from other countries, probably at the time that I'm speaking to them. Is this a long-distance call? Look, I live in America. Give me a person that can speak fluent English. You would figure that in a customer service position, they would hire people who are very, very good at speaking English. And again, I have no problem with other cultures and other countries. That's just fine. But at my time of great problems, which I am trying to solve with the company that has caused me these problems, don't give me a language barrier. That's all I have to say on that. I'm not being racist or flacist or pacist. I'm just, or woke. I don't even know what that means. Anyway, I'm disgusted. Because, you see, I might have lived a little longer than you did when things were a lot easier. A lot easier. Here's the funniest thing that I get from customer service. Because, again, I don't call companies unless I have a problem. So the people that you're talking to in customer service, they got to understand, you're going to talk to somebody that's a little pissed off about something right now. But here's how they answer the phone when you do get a human being, and I sometimes question whether they actually are. They'll always say, good afternoon, Mr. Van Damme. How is your day going? Don't ask me that question, because I'm calling because I have a problem. And my response is always the same thing. My day is not going well, and here is why. Don't ask me that question. And then when they put me on hold, I don't know whether they've hung up on me or what's going on. But I do a lot of, are you still there? Yes, I'm still here, Mr. Van Damme. We're checking. What are you checking? What's the problem? Why can't you solve my problem here? In order to waste time while I'm on hold and they're on hold with me, they say stupid things like, how's the weather where you are? Do you think that I don't recognize that you're trying to play me right now? Do you actually care? Now, if I answered that question, it's really, really nice out, I've got to know in the back of my mind, why am I answering that question? They don't care what the weather is where I am. It's on a piece of paper. That's what they're supposed to say while they're on hold. Set up a relationship with the customer. Don't bother setting up a relationship. Don't ask me how the weather is. Come on. What are you, Al Roker? He's a weatherman, by the way. So anyway, that's part of my problem today. All right, my guest is going to join us momentarily. She's Siri Daly. Siri, that's an interesting first name. That's got to get you confused, talking about interactive robots. But she happens to be the spouse of Carson Daly, who has been with NBC since he was born, probably. But his wife has her own notoriety as well. We're going to talk to her about, sending your kids back to school and, like, what do you put in their lunchbox besides arsenic? Oh, that's awful. I didn't mean that. That was just a joke. apparently, it's going to be juicy juice. So let's you want to go to her right now? I don't even want to run a commercial. Ladies and gentlemen, Siri Daly. Hey, Siri, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Not so bad, really. Good to be with you. Okay. Siri Daly joins us now. She's a cookbook author and also the founder of Seriously Delicious. She knows everything there is about food, and it's back to school time for the kids. Always an interesting situation, and when we talk about food and school lunches, it gets confusing every year. So we're looking to you to find out how to do this in a healthy way, at the same time, the proper way. So the school year is kicking off. We eat differently during the summer with the kids, don't we?
Absolutely. All rules kind of go out the window.
Yeah. So what do you do when it's time to start preparing lunches? It's time for that again. Have things changed? Are there new innovations, new ideas?
Well, I just try to plan ahead as much as possible. I like to, you know, switch things up, ask your kids what they want. That's very key in my house, because it's empowering. If they choose, they're much more likely to eat what you put in front
True.
Of them.
Yep. Okay. So, what indeed do you put in the lunchbox that, or at least give them to at least try to see if they like it?
You know, I have a bunch of different ideas. I recently partnered with Juicy Juice, and I love them because they have a giant variety of flavors. My kids adore them, and I love them because, you know, there's no artificial sweeteners, no added sugar. And so if you go to their website, I've created a ton of different lunchbox ideas, each paired with a juicy juice, things like pigs in a blanket, peanut butter and jelly, sushi roll-ups, salami and cheese kebabs, and there's a printable calendar so you can, you know, find a bunch of inspiration for your lunchboxes.
Did you say sushi roll-ups?
Don't worry, there's no fish. It's just peanut butter and jelly, and it rolls up in bread, so it looks like little sushi rolls, and they just like to, you know, just a more innovative way to eat peanut butter and jelly.
I see, okay. Someday, it may be actual sushi, you don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Whatever floats your boat.
Right. So do you pack these things on the first day of school, or how do you get the kids actually to try it? Do you call them into the kitchen ahead of time and say, hey, try this?
Yeah, so I have a giant calendar in my office, and I like to plan things ahead. I feel like planning is just, you know, the way you're going to ease your stress
right
in the morning and, you know, bring a sense of calm to the house. So I'll ask my kids, what do you want to eat this week? And then if they, you know, see it visually on the calendar, it really helps them kind of, and you figure out, you know, how you're going to move the week, how you're going to grocery shop.
Interesting. When I was a kid, and for some reason I'm still alive and I don't know how, I used to have bologna and cheese sandwiches every day. I don't know how my system still operates, but there was some comfort to constantly, some constant in that lunchbox that I was familiar with and I always looked forward to. Would that be indeed the juicy juice?
Well, that's true. I mean, I have four kids, and they're each so different, and some of them do like, you know, the same sandwich every day. But I think that, again, if you change it up, and that's why juicy juice is so great, because if you want a bologna and cheese every day, there's no problem with that.
Well,
but then you can have, you know, French juicy juice one day, or a berry one, or an apple one, so you have a little bit of variety with your, you know,
that's
with your
it.
Sandwich.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. And it's natural sugar. So and there are a lot of juice drinks that are like loaded with added sugars too. And we got to avoid things like that.
Absolutely. This is no added sugar, no high fructose corn syrup, no artificial sweeteners. So as a parent, I can feel really, really good about that.
Yeah, because kids also have to enjoy something as well. They can't drink kale juice. You know, it's maybe in California. I don't know. Are you in California? Are you on the West Coast or East Coast?
No, we're in New York.
Okay, good.
We're in New York, yeah.
Good. You're my people then. You're my people. Okay. Are there any creative ways to, what do kids, where do you put the food these days? They don't have like lunch boxes anymore, do they?
You know, my kids do. They like, there's those bento boxes where there's a bunch of different compartments. My kids like that, and I love that because it's easy to clean. You don't have to use things like plastic bags. It's environmentally friendly. My son, you know, he's 13, so he's more of a like, okay, let me just throw things in a bag. But, yeah, you know, there's all sorts of things out there.
Do you put it together the night before or in the morning?
I am typically a morning person. I like to plan ahead the night before so I don't, you know, I have an idea of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of my friends do it the night before, so it's kind of whatever is going to give you the most sense of calm, I think.
Okay. Now, getting back to the juicy juice, I understand that there's a sweepstakes involved, so there could be some fun there.
Yes. There's weekly winners. You can win up to $1,000 for back-to-school supplies, grocery items. So it's super fun. You can check it out on their website, and again, or their Twitter page, their Facebook page, Instagram. Tons of winners are picked for the next 4 weeks.
Okay. What are one of those pages? Or just Google it.
You can go to juicyjuice.com/back-to-school for more information.
Oh, that sounds easy. Okay. For that reason alone, I wish I was going back to school, but that would be the only reason. So, okay. All right. Siri, fun to talk to you. Thanks for the information, and say hello to everybody for me.
I will do. Thanks, Ron.
Take care. Okay, that'll do it for me. Let me just say something here. Giving your child large amounts of sugar, I mean, I know there's no added sugar in juicy juice, but there's a little over 20 grams of sugar, up to 26 grams of sugar naturally anyway. I guess it doesn't matter when you're a child because your body has a high metabolism and you can, you know, that's all right. But seriously, let's get away from sugar drinks, you know, for a while. Give your kid like a flavor-infused water or something, or I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure about this whole sugar thing. I think sugar is pretty stupid to ingest, natural or not natural, added sugar or no added sugar. Anyway, you make up your own mind. It's your child. Do what you do. You know, most people just like throw in the towel and go, look, my kid wants the damn juice. Just give him the damn juice and shut him up. Yeah, I know. Kids, it works. It works, kids. They're doing things just to shut you up. Do you understand? Use it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace. ¶¶